Is there a mic?
I got ready, mate. Okay. But there is one on the lectern, isn't there? Oh, yeah. I want Chrissy to use the lectern. When Wesley College and John Howard did his paradigm Wednesday night service. The college service, yeah. He transferred down to Wesley Bristol, so. And always a joke. And then he was doing one night, and Robin, who's our. John just gave us this sermon that no one's understood, apart from him. And we did this very, you know, sonorous communion, because John wasn't there. Using a folks at times. And we did this thing, and we just go in peace and love and serve the Lord. Very serious, John. We all said, Amen. And love coming. Chirps up on the organ. Do 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 do. We all died. John Harrod walked out. I had no idea what it was. We were all wetting ourselves, and he'd done this because he thought wanted to do different things with the old people and everyone else. So somebody said to him, look, what if they say a bit more from the next one? Next time, about 6 weeks later, Robin's on again. And so John goes, oh Lord, stop and serve the Lord. And as John turns, he caught his gown. He said it had a preaching gown, so he had this thing. He caught his caught it on the side of the hip and pulled it to one side. So as he turned, he pulled it round like that. That's up in the organ, he played the other thing. Da 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 da. And he just swung the same round, and it looked like Bella Lucas. And we just saw it. Robin wasn't on organ duty for another turn. coming from me, it might not mean much to them because I don't know them and they don't know me, but you would, because...
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Christchurch. It's indeed a great pleasure to welcome you all this evening for our very special circuit service, where we're going to give thanks for all that Susan has done in the circuit over the past 5 years, and also for what Wendy has done for us as well. So it's a real joy and pleasure to be here this evening as we mark the end of this chapter and we look at the beginning of the next chapter. So thank you all for coming, and it's also very nice in particular to see so many visitors from various other churches, but also to see Father John from the Catholic Church here in Marlborough and various other representatives from the Ecumenical Partnership. So thank you all very much for coming, and I'll now pass over to you, Mark.
We're a little late out. I was just checking my text message. I got one saying, got it over and done with quick. They should all be there. Djokovic. Some words from Psalm 62. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. We're going to begin to sing with our first hymn, Joyful, Joyful. Sometimes not a word you may associate with services in church on certain Sundays, but as they said, so good we named it twice. So we're going to sing Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Let us pray. O God, eternal and wonderful, holy to be trusted, you give life to all. You help those who come to you and give hope to those who call on you. Set our hearts and minds at peace, that we may bring our prayers to you with confidence and with joy. Eternal God and Father, you are the source of all life, the fount of all wisdom, the wellspring of all grace. Your days are without end, your loving mercies without number. We depend on you, and we remember your goodness to us and to those who have gone before us. We tell your story in every generation, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, God of a pilgrim people, your church. You are our God, ahead of us, leading us, guiding us, and calling us. You are the Lord God, the all-wise, the all-compassionate. To you we lift up our hearts, and we worship you, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. For our prayers of confession, there is a response. So after I've said, for our failure to make you known, you respond with, Lord, have mercy. So after, for our failure to make you known, you say, Lord, have
mercy.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we want to witness to your love, to share with others what you have done for us, and to reflect something of your love through the people we are. We want to be a light to those around us, proclaiming your saving love through word and deed. But we do not always know how, or where, or when. For our failure to make you known, Lord, have mercy. We mean to speak out, but when the moment comes, we are nervous and tongue-tied, uncertain as to what to say, afraid of doing more harm than good. Our clumsy efforts leading people away from you, rather than towards a consideration of your claims. For our failure to make you known, Lord, have mercy. We are afraid of promising much, but delivering little, of offering enthusiastic but empty witness that owes more to us than you, and so we back away, biting our tongues, telling ourselves that next time will be different. For our failure to make you known, Lord, have mercy. We are sometimes lacking in faith, sceptical that anyone will want to listen, and unable to believe they could really change, even if they did. And so we keep quiet, convinced that to do otherwise would be a waste of our time and theirs. For our failure to make you known, Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, teach us that it's not the cleverness of our words that has the power to change lives, but the message of your love and the wonder of your grace. Teach us that you can use our witness beyond our wildest expectations when it is offered from the heart, a spontaneous and genuine expression of all you mean to us. Teach us to trust in you, confident that you will give us the words to say when we need them, and give us faith to leave the rest to you, even though we may never personally see the results. Save us from making excuses or from evading your challenge, and so help us openly and honestly to speak for you and live to your glory. For our failure to make you known, Lord, have mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. We stand to sing our next hymn, which you'll find the words on the screen, God Forgave My Sin, in Jesus' name. Now hear our readings from Scripture.
The first reading is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen.
I am the good shepherd. The
good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep's pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Thanks be to God for this reading.
And so we stand to sing together. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom his world rejoices.
Fond memories of that tune. When I was at Boys Grammar School, we had a new music teacher came in my last year there, a lady music teacher, not many of those at our school, not many lady teachers. Her name was Miss Bellringer. Before I say the next part, does anybody know someone called Miss Bellringer who was a music teacher? Right, I'm safe now then. Just to let you... She was a certain shape, was Miss Bellringer. She had rather large hips, so she actually looked like a bell. And at a boys' grammar school, well... Anyway, she taught us that tune, as opposed to the other one we'd all sang, Nundanket. And we were in the choir, and we were going to sing it one morning in assembly to do the first verse, so everybody else could learn to sing it. And we were going along and doing the last bit, and we couldn't get it right. We couldn't get the timing right. So she was... And yours is, boom, ours today. So we got us to sing. We always is, boom, ours today. That was fine until we got to actually singing it when everybody forgot that the boom was meant to be silent. Our head wasn't very appreciative, really. She did later let us sing in a concert, bing, bang, a bong, a boom, bing, a bing, which was the Monty Python entry for a song for Europe, but that was another problem. While at school, I was a great sports player. I would play any sport. I'd have a go at most things. I just enjoyed sport. I was rubbish at a number of them, but that didn't matter. It was good fun to do sport. I was in the rugby team. I was vice-captain and captain of the team and vice-captain of the cricket team, my two main sports. But because of being in the rugby and cricket team at a school that played only rugby and cricket, the round of ball wasn't allowed. It wasn't even spoke of. And if you smuggled one in, you were dealt with. And you went into everything else, because the teacher would say, well, you're in the sports team. So when it came to sports day, I did all manner of things. I did the 100 metres, got the bill for it, as you can see. I was more lithe then, but no less streamlined. I was rubbish at 100 metres, because by the time I decided whether you ran off fast and caught them up, or whether you ran off fast at the end, it was over. I was even worse at the 200 metres, because that was even farther, and you had longer to think about it, and that was rubbish for me. I was in the high jump. I might as well have done the limbo. I was in the triple jump, because there was only four of us in the school at our age group who could actually manage the hop, step and jump without falling cherubim over cherubim into the pit, really. I came third in that, because the other one did fall over, and that was it. I did shot put and discus, because I was brawny from the rugby team. I was rubbish at those as well. And worst of all, my chemistry teacher, Dave Livesey, who I'm still receiving therapy for, Dave Livesey put me in the mile. So you can see it, can you? All those great Bannister, you know, Coe, Ovitt, and me. I came last in the mile. I collapsed over the line, wheezing and sweating and gasping for oxygen. I thought I was going to die. My heart was coming through my chest. And Dave Livesey walked over to me, looked down to me and said, call yourself a rugby player. That's a detention. He gave me a detention for coming last. So I'm not really one who knows much about winning when I'm running the race. I don't win many things. My sister won a Blue Peter badge. And she went on stage at the Saturday Morning Pictures and had it presented to her. And she was escorted through and up the aisle by two marshals. Saturday Morning Picture marshals. If you're too young, don't let me know. They used to have big armbands with Saturday Morning, Odeon, Marshall. My cousin Steve was one. I wanted to be one. That was my epitome of my life's career, was to be a marshal. They shut it down before I got there. But she won a Blue Peter badge. Me, nothing. Never. In fact, the only thing I won was a Golf Society game competition about 3 weeks ago, where I got 36 Stableford points. If you don't understand that, Robin doesn't, that's what matters. Yes. Dave wasn't there, so I couldn't rub it in. But apart from that, I win nothing. And while it's very nice to celebrate winners, like Djokovic today, and it's very nice to I was just saying he won, I wasn't being partisan. Or various winners we have, and in all these great forms of all the sports we have, and the auto, the GP at the moment, the Formula One, or whether it's the rugby. Oh, that's usually Leicester, isn't it? So we better not go there. But while it's great to celebrate winners, I sometimes find it difficult, because how many of us are at that level? How many of us really know that winning thing? How many of us know that joy of winning something, of being the best, of being well known for winning? I would estimate that most of us may be a bit better than myself, or those who take part and try and enjoy, and rarely get on the podium, let alone first, second or third. So, for me, running the race is mostly about losers. And I want to share with you about a particular loser, a guy called John Stephen Akinwere. And John Stephen Akinwere took part in the Olympics in Mexico. He actually took part in the marathon. He's from Tanzania. Now, John Stephen Akinwere did not win. In fact, during the race, he was some two-thirds way down the whole pack most of the time. And then disaster befell. He fell over in a melee of people. He twisted his ankle and partly dislocated his knee. And as you can see, they bound his knee up, and he got up, and he carried on with the race. Hobbling along for the rest of about 5 or 6, 7 miles, he was hobbling along. The winner, Mama Wolde, had been in the stadium, had the medal ceremony, was back home at his hotel, The few other stragglers who had already left the stadium, half the people in the stadium had gone, and some of the judges and adjudicators had gone, when suddenly there was noise at the door, at the gate that the runners came in through. There were police whistles and there were a police siren on a motorbike, and suddenly people looked and saw at the gate there was somebody coming in. And it was John Stephen Akinwari, this runner from Tanzania. Over an hour behind the winner. And at least 20 minutes behind the last person in front of him. People had left. People thought it was all over. And this man hobbled round the 400 metres. People stood to applaud him, the people who were there. They stood and applauded him as he came round, grimacing with pain, and finally finished. Afterwards, as he was leaving track and going into the tunnel, he was stopped and interviewed by those rather obtrusive sports interviewers who asked stupid questions like, what does it feel to win? Or how do you feel now you've lost, you know? And he was asked, and the question they said to him was, why didn't you stop? You were so far behind. You were injured, you were out of it, you were right at the back, everyone else was miles ahead. Why didn't you stop? And that's what John Steve Akinwari said. My country did not send me 7,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 7,000 miles to finish it. And he finished. And although we are here to mark some sort of endings, it's not really. Because as you know, and as Susan knows, as Wendy knows, and as we all know, there is never a point where our Christian race is run. Paul talks about running with perseverance, and we do, because it is not run. Each leg we run is a different leg. Some of the legs we run are uphill, some of them are downhill, some are along the plateau. Some are in the heat, and some are in the wind-swept rain. But it never stops, does it? It would be lovely, wouldn't it, if tomorrow, you know, sat down at my computer and there were no more emails coming in and they'd all been answered. Nothing came through the door, especially from connection. And no one phoned me up about anything, because I'd done it all. I'd run my race. But we all know that in whatever walk of life we're in, whatever form of ministry we're in, whether it's lay or ordained, whether it's private or public, there is no end of that race. We did not become Christians to run a short sprint, even those of us that come last in it. Because a Christian life is life of discipleship. It is a continuous race. It is a race we are called to, because we are called by Jesus Christ to finish that race. And these moments we share now, as we share in our whole Christian life, of people moving on, of people coming in, of people changing tack, I don't see as endings and beginnings. I see a part of it. Part of the race we run, we are committed to run. The John reading has a wonderful bit about running, because the only person who runs in it is the person who runs away. Is the person who runs away because they are not the one who is called to be the shepherd of the flock. They're not the one who's committed themselves to the race. They're not the one who's committed themselves to the love and care of the people. Now, the love and care of the people is not just entrusted to the pastor, to the minister, to the priest. It is entrusted to all the people. Is entrusted to one and all. We call that church. It doesn't end, it doesn't finish, it continues. So we are not called just to have a short sprint and see it's over. In my teaching years, I had one of my deputy heads joined us. He was from Yorkshire, but that's not the problem, to be honest. He would often come into the staff room just before the staff meeting in the morning, and he'd sit down and he'd have a quizzical look in his face and he'd announce to you suddenly, I think what we ought to do is this. And he'd come up with a scheme, which sort of just thought over, I think, because he had indigestion. And he'd talk about it, and then that's the last you'd hear of it. Until the next day when he'd come up with another scheme for doing something else. And he was forever dropping ideas into the staff room for what would improve teaching in the school and so on. But we never got to the end of any of it. And it was absolutely useless. It, in fact, did nothing more than wind us up and annoy us. Because it is easy to start things. It's easy to start races. It's easy to start ideas and missions and ministries. It's easy to start things in the kingdom. The difficult thing is staying with them and finishing them. And that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to be as we are church. When we look around at our churches and see how long churches have been established in communities, that's not a thing to look back on and say, oh, we should be newer. We want something new. We're there because we're there to finish the race. We're there to work with our communities through good and ill, through the good times, the bad times, through the successes, through the failures. Because we're there to finish the race. So you and I are called to set our sights on the author and perfecter of our faith, on Jesus Christ. As John Akinwari set his sights from the moment that gun went off to the finish line, he could have packed up any time along the way after that injury. And no one would have slighted him. No one would have ignored him. No one would have said, what a failure. But he'd committed himself to finishing the race. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed. Perplexed but not in despair. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. We are a people that have not been called to the Christian race just to start it, but to finish it. Part of this race we have shared together with Wendy with the work at Dorking, with Susan with the work here at Marlborough, Pusey, Oldbourne and Ramsey. It's a different leg of the race to run. Some in different places, for others of us here. But what is it that God is calling us to run to? What is God continually calling us to in our mission? We may need to reevaluate, to visit again the things we do, the reasons why we do. But it's still the same race. We are called to finish it. I will tell you, I believe there's no finish line. We don't come over first or second with God. It doesn't matter how we think we rate. There's no ranking system for persons and people. When we cross the line, God embraces each and every one of us. I don't know whether it's with a heavenly foil blanket or no, and a Mars drink, you know, as in the marathon. But he's there and embraces each and every one of us. There is no winner's prize for just one. There is a prize for us all, the gift of eternal life. And there is the knowledge and the presence of the love of God in all eternity. A friend of mine I used to teach with did the London Marathon for a number of years. I went once and watched. It was a fantastic spectacle. And partway along, some friends we were with said, doesn't it make you feel so excited? And wouldn't you like to do it? You know, the fantastic, the excitement of these people and their determination and those people in funny costumes and running for charity and all that. Don't you want to, make you want to go back and train and do it? And I turned to him and I said, no. No, can you see the pain when they get over the line? The grimacing, the tears, you know, the rolling around on the floor, the people gasping for air, being given oxygen. Those are the things. But brothers and sisters, part of our task as Christians, running this race to the very end, is to encourage people to come along, is to encourage people to come and run with us, is to encourage people that we have started something and, like Magnus Magnusson, we are going to finish it. That is our commitment in Christ and in fellowship with one another. And when we share at this table, this is some of the sustenance along the way. It's just like you're rehydrating as you go along your spiritual way. So when it gets a bit bad, when it gets a bit tough, or when we're not sure why we're actually wanting to go to that circuit meeting, or if we want to go to that circuit meeting, and I've got to go, I'm a super. Or whether we really want to go to synod. Or why we're actually doing this. And why do we go out and do this? And I'm a bit fed up and tired and I don't want to do that. Think of John Akinwari. John Akinwari could have given up. But didn't. Because he had made a commitment. Not to start, but to finish. Amen.
Alison, do you want to come and join me? Do you want to use that one? To turn on the button.
Did you do it first?
Well, you don't do that.
You do yours first.
You turn that on. Okay. Before we even start any of this, you're circuit steward, aren't you, Alison?
I am.
How long have you been circuit steward?
6 years, nearly.
Nearly. How nearly is nearly?
Sometime this autumn.
Sometime this autumn. And Alison's stepping down as circuit steward. So, she didn't know I was going to do this. But as we're making circuit thanks, and as this will be the last time we come together circuit before we all head off for our summer holidays and various things, I would like to say on behalf of the circuit, certainly on behalf of myself as a new member of staff, been here for 2 years, and as superintendent this year, my thanks to you, Alison, for all the hard work you've put in as circuit steward, for all the work you've done that gets done and wouldn't if it wasn't. There aren't any, you know, fairy elves doing it, I can assure you. It's Alison and the other circuit stewards. But at this stage, I want to thank you, Alison. And also, particularly my first year as circuit superintendent, she's been very good to me and has guided me at times when I probably needed a kick. It was a very gentle show. So before Alison, we say thank you to other people. I want to give my thanks to you.
Thank you.
And would you show your appreciation of all of you?
Thank you, Mark. Trust you to, you know, make me embarrassed, but there we are. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to serve as circuit steward, if I can say that before I go on to other things. I've been born and brought up a Methodist all my life and seen circuit stewards in the past and can hardly believe I'm one of them myself, or have been, because some of them seem so old and wise, and I don't feel that at all.
You're not old,
good.
But you are wise.
Oh. Right, sometimes. Right, it falls to me to say on behalf of the circuit our thank yous to Susan. Susan, as you know, has been with us 5 years. 5 years that have been not always easy for her. 5 years in which there have been a lot of changes, not only in the church, but in Susan's life as well. She arrived with a little 11-year-old boy, and a 14-year-old from school, having taught in a mixed Methodist boarding school in Devon. So for her, it was very different coming back into circuit life, and she made that adjustment. She hasn't always been well, and of course she's had problems with her mother, who has died while she's been with us, and that's a hard time for anyone to go through. But through it all, Susan has been positive and caring, and we are grateful to you, Susan. Some things she's done which have made a big difference and have been very valuable to the circuit. For example, her conduct of worship and her preaching around the circuit has always been appreciated. She has always encouraged local preachers, as those of you who are local preachers will know, and undertaken the training of new local preachers. And while she's been doing that, we've got 2 fully accredited local preachers and 2 more in training. And I think that speaks volumes for the way Susan's encouraged them. Her contributions at circuit leadership have always been positive and thoughtful. And she's had the tough job of trying to integrate 2 new chaplains. Well, not tough really, but because they've been lovely people from Aldbourne and Ramsbury. But they came into our circuit 2 years ago, and it's fallen to Susan to encourage them and to make them feel part of the wider fellowship. She's done wonders with the manse garden, those of you who haven't seen it. She says it's her relaxation, and we benefit from that because it certainly looks wonderful compared to what it did 5 years ago. Thank you for that. I don't know how Heather's going to get on with it, but we shall see. So in all this, in all these things that Susan has done, she has sought to fulfil her calling as a Methodist preacher. And for that, we owe her a deep debt of gratitude. We thank God for her ministry here, and we pray God's blessing on her as she undertakes new responsibilities in Salisbury. Susan, you and Rebecca and Tom go with our love and thanks, and we ask that you will accept this small gift from the circuit as an expression of our thanks. And if I can finish with two verses from a hymn, which I'm sure you could probably all sing with me. God be with you till we meet again. May he through the days direct you. May he in life's storms protect you. God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again, and when doubts and fears oppress you, may his holy peace possess you. God be with you till we meet again.
Yes, right.
I just echo everything Alison said, but as a colleague, as I said again, as a new boy coming in and then taking over as superintendent, as a colleague, I'd like to express our thanks to Susan, especially for providing us with hours of endless fun and amusement, because of the things that Susan says and the way she says them, and especially of Susan's wonderful knack of starting a sentence, getting halfway through and pausing, and leaving you with a double entendre of something like Kenneth Williams would have said. Most of which are unpublishable in their context, shall we say. But it's been a pleasure to work with you, Susan. Thank you. And Susan's not going very far away, so we're going to swap superintendent stories, and then we'll write a book. So our prayers go with you. And Wendy. I said, there you are, Wendy. Sorry, I was looking back there. Wendy, want to acknowledge what Wendy has done this year. But Wendy has... held the fort would be the wrong thing to say, because it hasn't been a holding case. It has been a case where Wendy has exercised her ministry at Dorking. It's been wonderful that she's been able to step in there and, I think, contribute more than perhaps the people at Dorking may have thought, because they didn't know you before, and I think a lot more than you even thought when you went there. God has been at work in you there. She has been a friend to a number of the people there, and especially has accompanied Beth in her ministry there. She has brought in one or two innovations there that perhaps at one time they were thinking of, but with Wendy's persuasiveness and directness, shall we say, has encouraged them to move onward in certain directions. And they have taken those steps bravely and openly, and they have found them a blessing. Wendy now moves forward along the line of candidating, waiting to see what God calls her for, whether a ministry is ordained or whether that is lay, and Wendy is open to God's movement, which is wonderful to hear, because God has already moved in what she's done. And I must also say that when we offered a probationer to Dorking, one of their concerns was about the presbyter having a dispensation, and whether they would be able to recognise that, or whether there would be issues with communion. Their PCC voted overwhelmingly in favour to recognise that dispensation, which is a great step forward for them, and a thing we should share in and rejoice in. But I also actually believe that part of that comes out because of the ministry that Wendy had there. That they acknowledged a ministry there that was not one that brought them, was sacramental. But they began to understand the nature of ministry in its different forms. So I do think that had an effect on their thinking, and your work there has greatly blessed and benefited them. And we all pray for your future path as we step together. I've got forms to fill in and meetings to go to, and I know less about it than Wendy does. And she tells me I don't, but I don't. So we'd all appreciate your prayers as we all make this journey together. So in a way, I'd like to think it's not farewells, because Methodism, as you know, is such a small family. I was saying this in church this morning at Bath Road. It's such a small family. You know that thing of 6 degrees of separation? If you're somewhere, if you go 6 degrees each, you'll always meet somebody you know. In Methodism, it's about 2. You can't go anywhere without somebody knowing who you are or know often what you've done. So, so Susan, yeah, we know. So, it's, as I said, part of the race running. It's not something that's over. It's something in one way that's still carrying on and beginning. So, we shall now come to... I think I've got to check my order of service because I forgot what I'm doing next. Yes, Kate. I'm glad someone knows.
We come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, hear our prayers for all who are facing change at this time. We pray for those who, through no fault of their own, are experiencing the loss of their job, livelihood, and home. Restore a sense of worth and give the hope of a better future to all who feel that their life is falling apart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are confronted by serious illness and the life changes that that brings to them and to their families. Give to each a deep awareness of your presence and that knowledge of your peace that will empower them for all that is to come. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for any who are recently bereaved and struggling to comprehend the utter loneliness of living without a loved one. Hold them close and gently lead them to a place of restoration and comfort. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ministers across the country who are preparing to move to new appointments. We particularly hold before you Susan, Heather, and Andrew, and pray that you will be with them in the preparation for their move, and as they settle into new communities. Renew them and fill them with your vision and energy for the next area of their ministry. And we pray for Wendy as she continues her course of study and seeks to develop her ministry within your kingdom. Give her a real sense of your guiding hand in all that she does. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, we pray for ourselves and for the churches and the congregations of this circuit as we face new challenges and learn to work in fresh ways. Inspire and challenge each and every one of us. Shake us up and remould us into a dynamic people, hungry to do your work and eager to play our part in building your kingdom here within the Swindon and Marlborough circuit. Lord, in your mercy, accept prayer. Heavenly Father, accept these spoken prayers and the silent prayers of our hearts for the sake of your Son, our risen Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I ask you to stand, please. Sh- share the peace with one another before we sing our communion hymn. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to the apostles, I leave you peace, my peace I give to you. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We greet one another with a sign of God's peace.
Peace, Lord, Robin. God be with you. God be with you. Peace be with you, brother. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Lord. 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 Peace be with you, Lord.
It was a lot longer yesterday. I was fortunate enough to be invited and to Bristol Cathedral for the ordination to deacon of Andrew Wigley's wife, Trudy, who will be serving as deacon in the Old Town Ecumenical Partnership at Christchurch up the road from me. So I'll be working with Trudy and working with Andrew in two different contexts. Just got to remember what I say about each one in different places. We come to our communion, we're going to share in the hymn, Jesus Be the Centre. To our communion and our prayer of thanksgiving, I ask you to sit, as I know is your way here and certainly my church, because I think it's sometimes difficult for members of our congregation to remain standing for long periods of time. And certainly yesterday during the ordination there was 3.5 pages we had to stand for. It's quite a long time. It was very nice, but I was glad to sit down again after. I'm not sure if that's quite a liturgical manner, but it is so. So the words of the communion are the words on there? Yes, good. Thank you. Because I can't see. So the Lord be with you.
And
lift up your hearts.
Lift your hands.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Your
You You made a covenant with your people and declared your purpose of justice and love. When all things were ready, you sent your Son to be our Saviour. In words and deeds, he proclaimed your kingdom and obeyed your will, even to death on the cross. Through his mighty resurrection, he overcame sin and death to set the whole creation free. Therefore, with saints and angels and with all the choirs of heaven, we join in the song of eternal praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Praise you, Father. Then the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave you thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shared for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, gracious God, with this bread and this cup, we remember that our Lord offered his life for us. Believing the witness of his resurrection and ascension, we look for his coming in glory and our sharing in his great and promised feast. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ, and that we may live to your praise and glory with all your saints in light. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Join our prayers with the prayers of all your people, on earth and in heaven, with the intercession of Christ our great High Priest, through whom, with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all worship and honour are yours, Almighty God and Father, forever and ever. Amen. So, we say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Christ is the bread of life. The cup we take is a sharing in the blood of Christ.
Christ is the true vine.
Jesus, Lamb of God,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, bearer of our sins,
have mercy on us.
Jesus, Redeemer of the world,
grant us peace.
Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. To receive the body of Christ, which is shed for you, given for you and the blood of Christ which was shed for you, and feed him on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
We shall do a continuous line. Susan and I will stand at the front and I'll serve the bread and Susan the wine, and David will collect the glasses and the tray, and then will you go back sideways to your seats. You'll be directed by the community stewards. Good. Let's take that first. Take the large piece there. As well.
Body of Christ, give for you.
Amen. Thank you. counsel it with you. Amen. Glory of Christ is given to you. Glory of Christ is given to you. Amen. Is given for you. Amen. Body of Christ given for you. Amen. Body of Christ given for you. Amen. Give thanks to God that we have shared together in that meal, meal that we know we shall share in God's kingdom. Amen. And when I went to Iona before I began candidating for ministry many years ago, there's a service on the midweek where somebody comes around and during the service and they pray words over you from the scriptures and from their book of prayer. And so you kneel down on these cushions, random or placed around there, and they come round, and as they come to you, they read the next piece of scripture that's on their list. And when they came across to me and laid hands on me, they said, we shall drink wine in the kingdom. And I thought, well, as God's kingdom has come, I thought that was a really good blessing. But it shows that we share in the heavenly feast in this world too. Not just in bread and wine, but in fellowship. And after the conclusion of the service, we move from Holy Communion to cakes and biscuits, which I think is sweet communion, which we'll share. We're going to come to our section of praying our farewells, which is a liturgy that I first came across when I came to the circuit, and Mike Deacon used it last year, but I subsequently found that many of my colleagues have used it in various of their circuits, because it does what it says on the tin. It prays our farewells, and so Chrissy is going to lead, and with Susan and I'm going to share, and so are you, on the screen. So Chrissy, you're here, and then remember, no singing. And I'll stand at the end, so you go in the middle.
God of our beginnings and endings, we celebrate all we have shared with Susan and ask your blessing as she continues on her journey. May the love that is in our hearts be a bond that unites us forever, wherever we may be. May the power of your presence bless this moment of our leave-taking. This we ask for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer.
Amen.
Where can we go from your Spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we make our bed in the depths, you are there. If we rise on the wings of the dawn, if we settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide us. Your right hand will hold us fast.
I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
If we say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the lights become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you.
The Lord will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
For you created our inmost being. You knit us together in our mother's womb. We praise you because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when we were made in the secret place, when we were woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw our unformed bodies. All the days ordained for us were written in your book, before one of them even came to be.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night.
How precious to us are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were we to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When we awake, we are still with you.
The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel. And this is my prayer, that love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ, we may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God.
As you journey onward, we ask forgiveness where you have failed. We give thanks for all you have given us. We assure you of our love and prayers.
As I leave, I ask forgiveness where I have failed you. I give thanks for all that you have given me, and I assure you of my love and prayers.
As you experience the pain of change and the insecurity of moving on, we pray that you may also experience the blessing of inner growth.
I know that God goes with me.
As you meet the poor, the pain, and the stranger on the way, we pray that you may see in each one the face of Christ.
I know that God goes with me.
As you walk through the good times and the bad, we pray that you may never lose sight of the shelter of God's loving arms.
I know that God goes with me.
As you ponder your decisions and wonder over the fruits of your choice, we pray that the peace of Christ may reign in your heart.
I know that God goes with me.
We praise and thank you, God of the journey, for our sister who is soon to leave us. We entrust her into your loving care, knowing that you are always the faithful traveller and companion on the way. Shelter and protect her from all harm and anxiety. Grant her the courage to meet the future and grace to let go into new life. Through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Amen. Susan, may God bless you.
Amen.
Go in peace, for our God goes with you.
Following our theme of finishing the race, our final hymn is, O Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. At the conclusion where there is a blessing, will you remain standing for the blessing, and then will you be seated for Susan's asked Robin to play a particular piece of music that she treasures and that Robin is going to play, and we'd like you to share in that. And that will also mean that you don't all rush out for the buns and some people get left to last. So we stand and sing, O Jesus, I've promised.
Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall fear the battle if thou art by my side. No wonder from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Oh, let me feel thee near me, the world is ever near. I sat at the door, the tempting sounds I hear. I am ever near me, around me and within. But Jesus, draw thou nearer and shield my soul from sin. Oh, let me hear thee speaking in accents clear and still, above the storms of passion, the murmurs of self-will. Oh, seek to reassure me, to hasten out control. Oh, seek and make me listen, thou guardian of my soul. Oh, Jesus, I have promised.
You sit down, we'll do the prayer with the blessing, okay?
That where thou art in glory, there shall thy servants be. And Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end. Oh, give me grace to follow my master and my friend. Give me grace to follow my master.
God, accept the gifts we give and the gift of ourselves and the work and service of your kingdom. And so may the Lord bless us and keep us. May the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look on us with kindness and give us peace. Amen. As we go in peace to love and serve the Lord, in the name of Christ. Amen.